Welcome to the Alchemy of Business Show with your host, Steve Rogers. The Alchemy of Business Show is a podcast that mixes practical, actionable business solutions with soulful insights for anyone seeking deeper meaning in their lives and greater success in their work. Steve will be featuring purpose-driven leaders from all walks of life and getting insight into their journeys from failures to triumphs. So tune in to transition, transform, and evolve in every dimension of your business and life. And now your host of the Alchemy of Business Show, Steve Rogers.
Hello, everyone, and thank you very much for joining the Alchemy of Business Show. We appreciate you being here. Whether you are listening on your iPhone, in your car, maybe you happen to be watching this on video online somewhere, but regardless, thank you very much for being here. This is where we are talking about wiser decisions, greater profits, and higher purpose. And those are great topics that blend into your personal life, your professional life, or anything you're trying to create on this planet. So welcome. I am very thrilled today to have our guest. We have someone who actually I'm affiliated with from not only being a friend and associate of mine, but also from a group that I'm a part of, from Marshall Goldsmith. Some of you may know Marshall Goldsmith. He's a pretty notable character and an amazing man who does a lot of stuff globally. And he created something called the 100 Coaches after he was looking to pay it forward in the world, after he's written numerous books, coached many CEOs throughout the world. And I met this gentleman, Mr. Rhett Power, who's going to be on the show today through this network. And we become friends. We're on masterminds together. He helps co-facilitate an accountability group that we're a part of. But Rhett is an amazing entrepreneur. He co-founded Wild Creations in 2007, which was a startup company with toys. Now, how can you not love a guy who helped build, create, and distribute toys? So I want to learn more about that. But in this company, he was the top 75 U.S. companies by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. So I want to hear about his toys and how he got into playing with toys as an adult from a kid. He was also a finalist for the Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year Award in 2011 and was nominated again in 2012. He was named one of the world's top 100 business bloggers in 2018. He's a phenomenal writer. I've read a lot of his stuff. And he was named the best small business coach in the United States. He's written for Inc. He's written for Forbes. He's also been named as the number one thought leader of entrepreneurship by Thinker360. He's also a fellow Institute of the McLean Hospital and Harvard Medical School affiliate. Rhett is also a father and a husband and a global traveler. I'm going to talk to him about his global travel today. But he's also the co-founder of Courageous Leadership. And he takes the accountability of leadership, but also ties it into this word and this concept and this thinking and life living of being courageous. So we're going to talk a lot about with him about that today. He also has a couple best-selling books, but one of his latest ones is called The Entrepreneur's Book of Actions. And we're going to learn more about his book, some of his magazine writings. And he's also, he can't talk a lot about it yet because it's kind of top secret, but he's been recently on a show that's been taped called 4 Days to Save the World. Now, man, we got to find out how he's going to do that, because does this world need some saving in some ways? Absolutely. So let's bring on Mr. Rhett Power. And here you go, Mr. Power, with a great name like Power. Welcome here.
Steve, thank you. What an introduction, man. I don't know that I can live up to all that, but we're going to give it a shot.
Well, isn't it funny when we read our bios sometime and we think about like how many years we've been on the planet in like a year or a decade, or and then we go, wow, I really did do that. So right. You must be amazed when I'm like doing this going, wow, because even though it's cool, you actually did those things, right?
Yeah, that's kind of very cool. Yeah, they were all done with varying degrees of success, but you know,
yeah. Or not. As life is, no doubt. Well, welcome, Rhett. Well, hey, let's talk about toys for a minute. So obviously you were born like we all were as a kid growing up. You had toys. You probably had a love of toys and sports and different things. So how did you grow from being able to play with toys as a kid to actually building a company that became very successful around toys?
Well, as most roads in our life are pretty curvy, you know, there's not one straight line of a road that we all go down. Mine, you know, took a lot of curves. After school, I got involved with Clear Channel Communications, and I worked with Clear Channel for about 5 years and then left to go in the Peace Corps. And after 2 years in the Peace Corps, we were in Central Asia. 9/11 happened. And so I stayed on with USAID. which is the U.S. government's development organization and agency, and worked in Central Asia to bring economic development to the post-Soviet Central Asian countries. We were also there combating terrorism, and the prevailing sort of wisdom at the time was that, you know, if we help create jobs and we help create this more robust economy, then people wouldn't turn to terrorism and to extremism. And so that took me through 2005 and 2006. And then, you know, I got that. One of the things I define my life by are these moments where I listened to what my gut was saying. I listened to what my intuition or that little voice. We'll talk about the book later about that little voice that's inside your head. You know, I've listened to that voice, and you know, I define that all. I talk about sometimes about quitting. You know, I've quit a lot of different things, a lot of different careers to start others. And it was all because I was listening to that inner voice that said it's time to do something else. So I left USAID, and it wasn't just, I didn't have this vision of a toy company. What we decided we wanted to do was to start our own company. We wanted to grow something. We wanted to bring our management and our beliefs and our culture, the culture that we wanted to create in a company, to whatever it was we found. And so we looked and looked and looked, and we even found a dead body removal company that had $3.5 million EBITDA, patents on body bags. But I just couldn't get excited. We looked at gutter companies and pest control companies. We looked at all kinds of companies to buy. And my lawyer brought me this little piece of paper. You know, we were getting pretty frustrated. We couldn't find anything that we were excited about. And he brought me this piece of paper and said, if you buy this company, I'm going to disown you. This is a terrible company. And of course, that's the company we bought. It was run horribly. It was a little one product toy company in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. But we fell in love. We absolutely fell in love with the product. And we knew that we could scale it. We knew that we could grow it. We turned that product 2 years later into the toy of the year across the country.
Wow. Man, talk about what you just weaved in that summary there. Thank you very much. I mean, that you at a younger age were out looking at the global impact of what's happening in the world from some major issues. I mean, you're talking about terrorism, how to prevent attack or get people in understanding cultures, and then to toys, to profit, to following your gut and instinct. So there's a lot to unpack there, which I love. So one of the things I want to go back on is the follow your gut. Obviously, if you were courageous enough, which we're going to talk about courageous leadership in a few minutes, and you went to become in the Peace Corps and then travel to these countries that a lot of people may not be open to being that adventurous, did you always have this follow your gut, this courageous kind of knowing, and then you defined it as you grew through these things that you know? So let's talk a little bit about that following your gut and courageous on all of these things that you did. And I want to come back to some of those and unpack those particular projects.
I think my parents probably would have defined it. I mean, I did. I went over to Europe when I was 17. I went to Washington to be a Senate page when I was 17 again. You know, I think I always had, my parents would probably call it this recklessness or this adrenaline junkie kind of thing. You know, it's getting better as I get older. But you know, I've always been willing to try anything and do anything and give it a shot. I kind of feel like one of the things I guess maybe it scares me. Maybe it's a fear of mine. Maybe that's something that you and I should talk about. But it's a fear that drives me to say, I don't want to sit on my porch when I'm 85 and say, what could I have done, or what didn't I do? Yes. Or why didn't I try that? What, you know, and have those regrets. Like I just that worries me, and so I don't want to have regrets.
And did it worry you from a very young age, or did it worry you as you became more of a mature adult? When did that worry start happening?
I don't know. I can't really identify it at 20. I think I was probably just seeking adventure, uh-huh. But I think deep down, I wanted to live. I wanted to live on my own terms. I think the way I look at it now is, I've always wanted to live on my own terms and live on my own in my own way. which I, you know, whichever way I thought was best for me. And I think that that's probably where that comes from.
Got it. Well, so thank you for sharing that. And I think you've instilled that you have a couple boys, correct?
I do.
And I know you're a proud papa. I know we have a few pictures of your sons or some soccer stuff they or you do in here. So did you carry that follow, live life to the fullest, you know, follow your passions like your son's playing soccer or traveling the world with you or different things? So have you instinctively and with intent carried what you just said on to your children? Because you said my parents reluctantly, you're like your parents reluctantly, like, oh, my God, this Rhett guy, what the hell? Are you saying, come on, guys, be more adventurous or follow your gut or, you know, too bad it's fearful. Do it anyway. Are you parenting that way like you're living as well?
I try to. I mean, we picked them up when they were 10 months, when my oldest was 10 months old, moved to Kazakhstan. You know, I mean, I kind of feel like that's the best thing I can do for them is to give them, you know, I wrote, it's interesting that you asked me that. I just wrote to my son's senior thing for his senior, you know, the back of the yearbook kind of little blurb that you do. I'm sure you've done those. And one of the things I said in there was, you know, take everything that we've given you, the good and the bad, and learn from it. But from what we haven't taught you, you know, have the courage to seek it out. And to me, that's what I want him to have, or both of them to have, is to have the courage just to seek and to learn and to be curious and to take life on head on, you know, and be courageous enough to go out and live it on your own terms. You know, don't live the life you think I expect of you. Don't live the life that somebody else says that you have to live. Live your own life and do what you want to do. So that you're proud at the end of your days that you, you know, there was a life of significance.
Wow. Well, I love that life of significance. So we're going to wrap up on that and come back from a quick break. But listeners or viewers, life of significance, toy companies, profits, learning how to make all this happen and learning about Rhett's book is something you should come back and listen to, I hope, because we're going to dig much deeper into this. So thank you, Rhett. And let's come back and talk about life of significance. Welcome back to the Alchemy of Business Show. We're here with Mr. Rhett Power. We're talking about global travel, raising kids, building companies, including toy companies. But we wrapped up on a topic about life of significance and wanting to create that. So, Rhett, let's jump back into that. We talked about a lot in a short amount of time on that first segment. But in this life of significance, you also tie that into courageous living. And I know you are a founder and running organization about courageous leadership. And I also know that you have a company that you've recently formed called Accountability Inc. So I like to, in this alchemy concept, because the name of the show is Alchemy, my name and my company is Alchemy. It's all about having this formula, all these different components that make this magic potion that works for you. And you were saying that as on the first segment, for your kids or for, I'm sure, your clients, everybody's different. Everybody has different passions and elements. So for you, how have you taken this learning of building companies and then this leadership practice that you do into courageous and accountability? So let's talk about molding those together, if we could, and how you've made your own alchemy of these things in your current work.
Well, I think the way I look at it is accountability and courage are prerequisites for anything that you want to do. They're prerequisites for change. They're prerequisites for being, for leading a company. I mean, when you look at what's happening in the world of business today, I mean, companies are dying and companies are getting disrupted. I mean, 52% of the Fortune 500 companies from 2000 are now extinct. I mean, in two decades.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Wow. In two decades, we've lost over 50% of those companies that were on the Fortune 500 list. And you know, companies used to stay on that list for 75 years. And so we're just in this, and there's such a lack of courage. I mean, we could get into politics and to society, but there's such a lack of courage in society today, right? And so I think customers and our businesses, our customers, are demanding that, are starting to demand that you be accountable, there, that you be responsible, socially responsible. I think, you know, as we see this sort of this climate that's happening now, courage and accountability can really be your differentiation. It can be the thing that sets you apart from your competition. It can be the thing that's sort of your X factor. And I think what we want to do, you know, at Courageous and at Accountability Inc. is help companies figure that out, figure out where their pain points are, figure out what their fears are, figure out what is, you know, we, Steve, you and I, we got a little bit of gray hair, you less than me, but, you know, we've all seen companies. I mean, you've seen companies that you've worked in probably, and the companies that you've coached that are just, they're in this state of paralysis.
Yes, correct.
Right. And that paralysis is because there's fear. There's fear of making decisions. There's fear of making that purchase, that for that equipment. There's that fear of maybe moving that person out because they're the top salesperson, but they're a jerk to work with, but their numbers are really good. So, you know, there's fear of sometimes doing the right thing and the thing that's necessary. And so my job, I feel like, is a fear fighter. My job is to go out there and show them and give them a process to make decisions that take that fear out of that decision making.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, and I know processes are so important. And whether you're writing for blogs or Inc. magazine, or you're writing books, where I want to show your book in a few minutes and talk about that, processes are so crucial, and accountability. And in some cases, it almost seems like that's in opposition to courage and following your gut and you know, all of that stuff, because you have to have instinct and you have to be right brain, left brain. So how do you, when you go into companies or with your clients, how are you bringing up both of these crucial topics to highlight with them, like on a scale of 1 to 10, how they are on courageous leadership from their perspective or their teams? And then on accountability, how are you using your own processes to uncover that within somebody? And then what processes can people go to right now to start taking action on either of those categories?
Yeah, great question. I think I'll start with this. Like, courage is a concept and as a word, I think, is often misunderstood, right? And I think people often think, well, courage doesn't apply to me. It applies to that fireman that's running into a burning building. It applies to that police officer. It applies to that fighter pilot or that soldier. And we think that we can't be compared, or, you know, that guy jumping out of the airplane, you know, we just don't equate it to ourselves. Number two, we think courage is really risky, right? And we're risk averse, typically. We're not wired for risk, right? We also think that courage is impulsive, right? We also think that courage can't be taught. So there are all these myths that surround this concept and this word. And what we do is, when we talk about process, we believe if you have the knowledge, faith, and action part, if you have all of these three components of what we call courage, then you can take the risk, you can take the fear, you can take the impulsiveness, you can take the whole idea that courage doesn't apply to us, and actually make courageous moves in your company and in some ways your life. But let's apply this to a company. So what do I mean by knowledge, faith, and action? Knowledge. Knowledge is, do I have enough knowledge to make a decision? You know, do I have the stats, the data, the right team in place? Do I have whatever the elements of that decision making are? Do I have all of that? And am I confident that this is the right decision?
Right.
Right. Okay. If I've got that and I've got all that, and I say, yes, I've got the knowledge. Now, do I have the faith? Now, the faith is not religious faith. It's the belief that, and does my team believe in this decision, right? Is everybody or most of the people behind the decision that we're going to make? And are they going to implement it? Are they going to drive it forward? Are they going to move forward with it? Are they going to be all in to make this work? Number two, that's faith. And then the third part is where we often get the paralysis, which is the fear part. And the fear part is, and I'll give you an example. I was just working with a big hospital system, and they had this piece of equipment that they needed. They had the data on the equipment. They knew it would save lives. The staff wanted it. In fact, some of them had gone out on their own and gotten trained up on this machine. But the board was wishy-washy, and it took them 18 months to make a decision.
Oh, wow. That's a little excessive.
Right. And people died in the meantime.
Oh, man. Oh,
wow. Equipment. So, but the paralysis was, well, this is a $1 million machine. This is a big expense right now. Right. And so we've got to get them past that fear of making that big purchase. So they got stuck on that. And our job is to help them see that they've got the knowledge, they've got the faith, make the purchase, because it's, you know, you've got all the elements on this other side that are going to help it make it work, make it worthwhile, make the process less, that makes it less scary if you're paying attention to those other elements. So that's what we do. So we talk to companies, we work with companies on getting that knowledge, faith, and action in place as a cultural thing. And that helps people make those decisions.
That's awesome. Well, I love that knowledge, faith, and action, and then having a process. And those can apply to all areas, whether it's buying a $1 million machine to save lives in a hospital, correct, or it's your own life where you're in a relationship that isn't working and you need to have the knowledge or faith or action to do something about it, to make it better, or you're doing a startup, or you're looking to implement a new marketing program or cut costs. Those three things, knowledge, faith, and action, although general, are very specific to things once you look into them.
Well, and right. So if you know that those are the three elements of decision-making, right, and you know where you're, so what happens now is people don't often know where they're stuck, right? So now if you put it to, do we have the knowledge? Do we have the faith? Is there an action plan? If you get stuck somewhere in this process, at least you know where you're stuck.
Right, right.
Right, exactly. And you can do something about that.
It's right? Like that's on a map when you're at a mall or an amusement park and you have the map and it says, you are here. If you don't know where you're at, you can't know where to go to the next thing. So that assessment of knowing where you're at in those knowledge, faith, or action, or how deep you are or not in each of those categories is key. I'm assuming right. that you talk about some of this in your two books, and we're going to have a break here again in just about 1 minute. But Aaron, my producer, who's on the show, Aaron, if we could pop up maybe Rhett's books before we sign off, and I want to talk about those when we come back. But this knowledge, faith, and action topic, and also working through entrepreneurial things. I know that Rhett writes about in his books, whether you're an entrepreneur, and I know he also coaches and consults with corporate companies and different organizations. These principles apply. So I think you have, what was the first book you had about frogs? It was a million frogs or something like that?
1 million frogs. It's a cute story about that. And I don't know if we have time, but that name came from a meeting. I was beating up my head. I was beating my head against the wall in the toy company. It was probably our first 5 weeks or 6 weeks of owning the company. We had 4 employees, and we were trying to do this sophisticated SWOT analysis of how we were going to move forward and what our challenges and our weaknesses and our strengths were. And it was just going completely over everybody's head. And now, you know, these are folks that had never been asked in their lives what their bosses thought. They had never been asked, you know, for help in trying to move a brand new company forward. And so, you know, we were trying to use these sort of way over the top sort of consulting thing, you know, tools. And I got kind of frustrated, and I kind of just said, you know what, guys, I wrote 1 million on the whiteboard. And I said, I want to sell 1 million frogs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, lo and behold, that was a simple, clear, and they laughed their heads off, but it was a simple, clear goal of what I wanted, what we wanted to happen. Right.
Right. Right.
It was a clear goal. Let's sell 1 million of these kits. And you know what we did? We sold millions and millions and millions of them. That was beside the point, but it gave clarity to the mission. And it was an accident. It was out of kind of frustration, but that's the title of the book. And it was sort of our journey to get to 1 million is what that book is about.
Well, that's awesome. Well, 1 million frogs and clarity to the mission. We're going to come back and talk more about that. So if any of you ever felt like you bumping around with 1 million frogs, one of my mentors, Brian Tracy, wrote a book called Eat That Frog.
That's right.
We're going to come back and talk more about frogs and clarifying your mission. So stay tuned. Thank you, Rhett. We'll be right back, everybody. Welcome back to the Alchemy of Business Show with Mr. Rhett Power. We were wrapping up the last segment talking about frogs, believe it or not, and we're going to carry on talking about frogs. The reason that came up is one of Rhett's books, it was called A Million Frogs, and he has another book about entrepreneurs taking action steps. So a lot of people on these shows, of course, want to know what action can I take to make progress in my life or business? So we're going to talk about that. So we've got Mr. Rhett Power back. So Rhett, let's jump back in. And you were telling us before the break about how you were brainstorming with a client in a room, and you just kind of was trying to get their attention and wrote up, let's sell a million frogs. So let's talk about how the book came about, Million Frogs. And then let's talk about your other book as well, that's your more recent one about the action steps that entrepreneurs can take.
Okay. Yeah, no, the book came about because we were trying to sort of set the mission for our new company, Wild Creations. You know, we had the staff in the room, and it was a young staff, mostly people who we could afford and people who had never really been brought into and asked their opinion on how to make a product work or how to make a company grow. And so it was a ragtag team. But, you know, the whole thing was when we wrote that 1 million frogs up on the when I wrote 1 million frogs up on the board, and, you know, people laughed and thought it was funny. But it clicked in my mind, at least, and I think for everybody else, that was our number. That was what we were going to shoot for. That was our goal. And it gave us clarity of purpose and goal. And we ended up selling millions and millions of them. And people didn't laugh so much, but it certainly did at the very beginning give us a little clarity.
And clarity is key. So when people, a lot of times I find some of the people I work with, they have clarity, but they don't know how to execute and take actions. And sometimes I have people that have really, really big dreams, but they're so broad, they're not clear about it. So as you were talking about in one of the first segments about knowledge, faith, and action and how to determine when you're in those categories, how do you help people clarify, A, if their mission is big enough and then getting clear on it? And then when and how do you help them start getting into this baby steps or the big steps about taking actions? Like, how do you help them decipher those things?
Well, it's got to be simple, right? We've got to start with simplicity. And if a goal is too complex, if it's too ambiguous, if it's too broad and people don't quite understand how the things connect, then we always have to start in trying to simplify that and to get, I mean, just like 1 million frogs up on a board, it's got to be that simple. Now, obviously, there are a lot of blanks to fill in there, but it's got to be something that clear, that simple, that understandable.
And then in the second book that you wrote, which is called Entrepreneur Steps, Action Steps for Entrepreneurs?
Yeah, Entrepreneur's Book of Actions, right.
Yes. So in that, what prompted you to dig deeper in? I mean, obviously, if you're going from a million frogs, which is like, what the hell is a million frogs, to then getting really specific, those tie really well in together when now that we're talking about them. But how did you get into understanding that you wanted to write a book about the action steps in the book, and what were some of the key ones that you find people are lacking the most in taking action?
You know, the book came about, it was really a book that I wrote. It was sort of cathartic to write because I spun my wheels as a new entrepreneur for a couple of years, and I got to the point where I wasn't exercising right. I wasn't sleeping right. I wasn't doing the things I wasn't doing the hobbies that had made me really happy. I wasn't doing the things that made me, and I wasn't doing life very well. I was very absorbed into the company. And we were also, as you know, we were working in the company. We were driving the vans. We were doing deliveries. We were, you know, burning the candle at both ends. And, you know, at some point we had this sort of genesis of, we got to stop. We got to take a time out. The business is we're getting, you know, we're at our sort of wit's end because we're spinning our wheels a lot here and we're not growing and we're not moving as fast as we can. Why is that? That took us probably a year and a half or 2 years of sort of running and burning the candle at both ends, running a million miles an hour, to stop and say, what are we doing wrong? you know, and we're running out of money. We've got to close this thing if things don't change. And what we realized was that we spent so much of our time working in the business and not on the business and not playing our real roles in the business. You know, as a president and CEO, we had a partner in this. We needed to step back and we needed to be strategic. We needed to think big. We needed to do the strategic things, the sales part, the relationship part that we needed to do to grow. And when we stepped back and we did that, and we stopped driving across the country to deliver aquariums, and we stopped doing all those little things, and we brought some more people on, we trained people, then we started to grow. Like we instantly, I mean, almost within a few months, you know, we had an account with Brookstone, and we had accounts, or, you know, we started to see this massive growth. I mean, we honestly, Steve, in a 5-month period, we went from like a $100,000 company to a $10 million company.
Wow. Wow.
And that just kept growing because we kept working on the business. And so I wrote the book to sort of talk about all those pain points that I went through.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Learning to say no, managing myself, the sleep and the eating and the health and the taking the time, you know, stopping work at a certain time so that you can have, you know, family time. And so these were this book is about those lessons that I learned that ultimately made me a better entrepreneur and a better leader, a better manager, and a better, you know, a better person. And so that's what Entrepreneur's Book of Actions is about. It's about those little things. And what the book is unique in the sense that it's a 300-page book, but it's not something you just sit and read at one time. It's actually a book that you read every day for a year. And I give you this like little tidbit every day to think about and to work on. And I make you get your notebook out and write things down and analyze your actions and analyze yourself. And it's a book of actions every day that are going to help make you better as an entrepreneur.
That's awesome. So it's like a workbook, reading book, step by step and apply. And here's on the screen for those that are viewing, you can see this. For those that are listening, you can, but you can connect with Rhett. We have one more short segment coming back on, but to make sure if you're signing off early for any reason, Rhett is at rhettpower.com, and it's R-H-E-T-T and then the word power.com. And you can see his books on there, The Entrepreneurial Book of Actions and The 1 Million Frogs. You can sure you get those on Amazon as well. We're going to come back in just a few minutes, and we're going to talk about this multi-world of creation that Rhett does with doing good work and volunteer work in coaching, consulting, writing. He's also become a TV celebrity that we were going to talk a little bit about. And he's got this show that's going to be coming out very soon called 4 Days to Save the World. So if any of you want to find out how to save the world, please come back with Mr. Rhett Power, and we will be back here on the Alchemy of Business. Thank you. Welcome back to the Alchemy of Business. We're here with Mr. Rhett Power. We're coming into the last stretch here of the show. We've got a few minutes more with Mr. Rhett as we're going to pull his time. This is a global traveler that usually is in Brazil, traveling the world. He happens to be in the U.S. On our own time zone right now, so I'm lucky enough to have him on the show. But we were talking about some of Rhett's books here that we talked about on rhettpower.com, his 1 Million Frogs, and also Action Steps that Entrepreneurs Can Take. And I want to come back and talk, and for those that you can see the screen here, you're seeing it again, the Book of Actions, Entrepreneur's Book of Actions, and then 1 Million Frogs. But he's also got another project that he's been working on that's a little bit under the radar at the moment. But Rhett, can we talk just a few minutes, a quick minute about the 4 Days to Save the World? What's this show all about?
Well, wow. it's ambitious. The whole premise is that you know, there are the UN development goals, which you may or may not have heard of, but it's things like climate change and cancer and reforming education and curing cancer and reforming education globally and a bunch of the big world problems that just plague us constantly and plague us globally and challenge us globally as a human race. So the show's premise is that you get together scientists and entrepreneurs and young people, and our team was made, and you put them in teams and you let them attack one of these problems. And I was on team cancer, and because I think we've all been every one of us has been impacted by cancer in some way. And I felt like this was a problem I wanted to be involved in. I wanted to be involved in that team. And we just had an amazing cancer team. We've got three people who have cancer, two people who are living with it right now.
Wow. On the team. So many families, affects everybody. It really does.
We had a 17-year-old who is dealing with a rare form of cancer. So we had this unique blend. We had three teenagers on our 10-person team. So we had just about every group sort of represented, and all those voices. We had a doctor, we had some coaches, we had some, some other entrepreneurs. And I think we came up with a really, really good solution to help attack cancer and help solve that problem globally. It was a lot of fun. We had 4 days to put ourselves in a room and try to solve this problem, come up with a unique solution that could get funded. And so the idea is the teams that have the winning ideas will actually go after crowdfunding. We'll actually go after venture capital and capital to sort of try to launch these businesses and attack these diseases and these
problems. Wow, that's amazing. What you go from toys to terrorism to helping cure cancer. You are quite the well-rounded man there.
I hope there's a Nobel Peace Prize in there somewhere if we yeah. solve cancer.
By the time I interview next, I'll be scrolling through your bio, and I'm sure it will be there. No doubt about it.
I don't know, but that's not what I'm aspiring. It was fun, and it was. I learned a lot about the disease that I didn't know. And I learned a lot about the research and the things that the pharmaceutical companies and the researchers are trying to do. The question is, can we take that technology and can we put it into a business where it benefits everybody, right? That these solutions are affordable, that these solutions really help not just people in wealthy nations, but they help everybody
globally. Everybody globally, yeah, which I know you're all about. You're all to helping every man and woman at every level. So I applaud you on that. Where can they watch the show, and when will it be out?
They can watch it on Apple TV, Amazon, all those, Roku, on all those. I have to confess, I don't watch a lot of TVs, but it's on all those streaming platforms.
Okay, all those platforms that you get, like so many things that pop up and go, which channel am I going to watch? Well, again, we'll have MrRhettPower.com on these show notes, and we'll remind everybody on emails when we send this out. We have just two more minutes, Rhett, before we got to wrap up the show. But as you know, and not everyone knows, but I've written a book called The Iggy Principles. And The Iggy Principles, and you're well aware of it, you helped me do some promotion and some endorsement of that, so thank you. But The Iggy Principles plays up on the opposite of ego. And Wayne Dyer so eloquently talked about ego as edging God out or edging good out. And I always resonated with that. So I always have this mantra for many, many years about what's the opposite of that. So for me, it was inviting good in or inviting God in or inviting greatness in. And you're doing a lot of that work already in many of the things we've talked about on the show today. So for you, what is your G, inviting G in? Is it God? Is it good? Is it grace? Is it what is your G? And how are you incorporating that into your business and personal life these days in your work?
That's a wonderful question, Steve, and one that you actually really led me to think about a lot more than I've ever thought about it. I'd have to say good, because I think good is the essence of God. Good is the essence of great. Good is, and when you try to be good, and when you live good, and you live, and you act in a good way, you allow God in, you allow greatness in, you allow good things to happen. And so I think that for me, it's good, because I guess that's what I try to be. And that's the way I try to live.
You are definitely doing that. Your good reigns through you. So from all the stuff that I know about you, the stuff we've talked about on the show today and the work that you're doing, inviting good in is your, going to be your middle name there, Mr. Rep Power. So I want to thank you very, very much for being on the show. Very inspiring, and we'll definitely have you back again. And I'll make sure everybody's getting these notes and updates on your Accountability Inc., your courageous work, and also the new show when it comes out. We're definitely going to find out how to save the world in 4 days. And it sounds like you're on a good track to do that. So thank you, Rhett. We appreciate it. We're going to make sure we have your website and everything in the show notes for people to reach you. And for those of you that listened today on the Alchemy of Business, we appreciate you tuning in, whether it was audio or video. We will be on more shows ahead. So stay tuned and thank you, everybody. And keep finding your own Iggy. Have an awesome day. Thanks, everybody.
And that concludes this episode of The Alchemy of Business with your host, Steve Rogers. If you found value in today's broadcast, please consider liking, subscribing, sharing with friends, and leaving a review. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next Thursday for another episode. Be blessed and see you soon.